Pleasure.
Good to have you back here with us. And well, that was quite a crew that went in on Sunday.
It was. There was a good class. I knew about three of them, although I knew a lot of, excuse me, a lot of the names. I only knew three people personally. Being Don Sturgeon was the main one. And I knew Mike McPhee and Kevin
Nelson. Oh, Kevin Whitmore, yeah.
That's about all I knew, but it was a good group.
Well, for anybody who doesn't remember, first of all, why not? If they know their Maine basketball history, they ought to remember your exploits at John Babst back in the day. Some tremendous teams there. And I was thinking about this afternoon. And look, basketball, high school basketball is great, and the tournament's a wonderful thing. But back then, it seemed like, in many ways, the tournament was more competitive. And even around here where you had teams like John Babst and Bangor and Brewer all competing in the same class.
Well, when we played, Bangor played Babst, Babst played Bangor, Babst and Bangor played Brewer, we played Old Town, we played Stearns, and every night when we would play one of those teams, we'd have close to 6,000 people there just for a regular Tuesday night game or Friday night game. And what I'm most amazed at right now is the Bangor Rams, who always had great teams, they don't even play in the Cross Center now. Yeah. They play it at the high school. That's how much the fan has dropped off from going to the games, because we used to have capacity crowds here, you know, just every night when we play a regular game.
Oh, absolutely. Even when I was in high school in the 70s, the games were still at the Bangor Auditorium, and that place would be packed, and it didn't matter who you played.
Right.
It was a big event, and it was a community event, and I guess now there are other distractions for people.
Well, everybody has a handheld computer and television and computer games and iPads and everything, and I have, you know, two grandkids that do the same thing, so, you know, they're not interested in sports that much anymore.
Bob, when you look back at those days and those great teams, and who were some of the let's start with players. Who were some of the players who were your best competition and the people you like to go up against?
Bangor always had a good team, but one of the best I ever went up against is Danny Drinan. Mm. I didn't have the opportunity to play against Jack Scott. I played against Skip Chappelle, and Dave Pound played for Stearns at that time. And Bangor had Jim Mooney, Archie Tracy, Joe Taylor, Russ Murray, and Jimmy Van Attestine. That was the starting five at Bangor that beat us on Saturday night in the Eastern Maine Finals. And Danny Coombs, of course, played for Brewer. Pud Robinson, they were some great athletes, and it was well played and very, very competitive.
And boy, some great coaches at the time too. Whether it was Red Berry at Bangor or
Johnny Mitchell was at Babs, Larry Mahaney was at Brewer.
That's right.
And John Killalay was up at Old Town. And Wally Donovan was still coaching Waterville.
Yeah, now John Killalay went on to be an assistant with the Celtics for many years.
Right, he did. I ran into John when I refereed in the NBA. He was an assistant coach.
Well, those were some great basketball times. And it's taken a while to get this Maine Basketball Hall of Fame going, but they're getting caught up with some good classes and some big classes. But there's a way to go, because basketball has been so big in the state of Maine for so many years.
Very big. And they found out this weekend that the First National, who has been a big sponsor of the Maine Hall of Fame basketball, has joined and going to be sponsoring them. They committed for the next 3 or 4 years, so that'll help. And there's a lot of athletes that haven't even been recognized yet.
Yeah.
And there's a few back in my class. In fact, from Bangor, myself and Danny Drinan are the only two ball players from Bangor that have gone into the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Me from Babs and Danny Drinan from Bangor. And there was a lot of great players. Carl Daigle, Charlie Taylor.
Billy Cohen.
Billy Cohen, yeah.
Well, they'll get in there eventually, I'm sure. And it's great. It's to me, it's perfect that it's housed here at the Cross Center now, too.
It is. It's a beautiful place. That's the first time I've seen it. And I went in not necessarily for all of my basketball playing, but I had a great career in refereeing, and so I went in twofold, basketball playing and refereeing, so it was good. I enjoyed it. I was very honored that they called me and said that we're going to induct you into the Hall of Fame this year, which very well surprised me, and they called me in January, and I said, oh, great, I'll be there.
We're talking to Bob McAllister, inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame on a Sunday afternoon with that great group. And you were here a while back last year when you were visiting, and we talked about your career. But for anybody who might have missed it, can you go back and explain how you got involved? Because it wasn't a straight path to becoming an NBA official.
No.
You got into it a little bit later in life.
I did. I didn't go into the NBA until 1978, but I started refereeing about 1970, and when I transferred to Philadelphia with my company, I worked down there. Then 18 months later, they transferred me to Portland, Oregon. So I says, well, I don't want to do it that much. But then I started again, and I ended up working for the Pac-8, which is the Pac-12 now, the West Coast Conference and the Big Sky. And my wife and I had season tickets to the Portland Trailblazers, so I would watch the referees more than I'd watch the game. And I kept telling her, you know, I'm better than some of those guys on the floor. So I said, I'm going to go to the NBA. And so she thought I was absolutely crazy. But if that's what you want to do, she supported me. So I went to two tryout camps with the NBA, and they hired me in the ABL. And I went to Anchorage, Alaska on weekends to referee. And then that September of 1978, they called me and offered me a contract to go in the league. So I refereed in the league in 78, 79. And then I left the league because they downgraded from three back to two.
Right.
And then they called me in 1983 and said, the referees are going on strike. Will you work? So I said, yes, I will. But I can only work either Portland or Seattle because I says I have a great job. I'm fortunate to go back in the food business. And I can't travel, so I only worked a few Portland Trailblazers, Seattle games, and then they settled the strike, and so I was done. So after that, I decided, or I got called to see if I would be interested in being an observer of referees for the three major conferences in the West Coast, and because of my ability of playing, so I did. I started observing for the Pac-12 or the Pac-10 at that time, the West Coast Conference and the Big Sky, which I still do today. So I work about a 65 game schedule right now, just going to the three major college games and observing the referees, doing a game report and meeting with them after the game. And we replay the game for about 20 minutes, telling them what they did well, what they did good, and how they could have improved the game, and then do a report, and I'm off to my next game.
So for somebody who's been involved with basketball for a long time now, what's the state of the game? Let's start with the collegiate level. In terms of skills, we've got more opportunities for people to play than ever before. Are skills as good as they were even a few decades ago?
I think the skills are better today. Some of the kids coming out of college, and you know, two or three of them that never went to college, like LeBron, you know, I don't think there was anybody back in our era that could do what LeBron can do today. And I see the kids coming out of the Pac-12, and the Pac-12 usually gets highly recruited when the NBA draft right. rolls around. And the skills today are just so far greater than they were back then. They can do so much more with the ball. And even the women today, you know, I remember way, way back, but some of the girls today, and, you know, take, for example, in the USA Olympic team, one night they started five UConn players, and all of them were fantastic. Yeah. You know, and UConn's just the greatest in the country. But the basketball skills today are really, really far and above what they were before, especially on the women's level.
Now, you see more specialization today. When you were in high school, most everybody was playing more than one sport and doing right. it without having your summer tied up by playing nonstop organized
out,
ball.
Out in Oregon, the summers are tied up because the coaches say, if you want to play in the fall, you got to go play with us in the summer. And they have so many AAU clubs out there. That's all they do is they play basketball 12 months out of the year. Well, I want to take time out to play baseball, the kid says. Well, the coach puts a little heat on him. I'm going to play football. Well, you know, they got to make a choice. And I don't think it's right. I think they should be like we were, the freedom to play all three sports. But basketball is so big out there on the West Coast that especially Oregon, that they just send them to camps, and it's astronomical what's going on. And we have a called the End of the Trail. You might see my shirt here. We have the End of the Trail tournament, which is the largest women's tournament in the United States.
Wow.
And that's held from July 5, 6, 7, 8 in Oregon City, and that's the major headquarters, Oregon City. But we use 17 sites, and we have teams from all over the country. We have them from France. We have them from Mexico, Canada. And these are usually girls' club teams. Mm-hmm. And the viewing period for women's D1 coaches is July 5 through 12, so that every major Division I coach in the country can be there. Now, they can't talk to the girls. They can't, if they walk by them, they can't even say, oh, hi, Mary. They just can't speak to them. But every major Division I coach in the country, Uriyama, Joy, Palumbo, they're there to watch, and they're making notes. And, you know, and pretty soon you see these girls going to Tennessee, to Duke, to Connecticut. And it's a big, big tournament. So as I say, it's the largest women's tournament in the United States.
Now, you've been out west for a while. When you come back to Bangor, are you surprised at how the town has changed?
It's changed. Traffic hasn't changed, though, but the city's changed quite a bit. And I'd have a hard job moving back because of weather-wise come November. You know, I don't think I'd be able to take the snow and cold weather again.
But, yeah, that hasn't changed a bit.
No, but it's great to be back for 10 days in August to September, and we enjoy it.
Now, let's take you back before we let you go. We're talking to Bob McAllister here on Downtown. Was there one game, one moment that stands out in your memory from your time playing at John Babb's? What's the most memorable moment for you?
The most memorable was, the semifinals of the Eastern Maine Tournament, we're playing Brewer. And we were tied up. We were going into our second overtime, which the rules were a little different than the second overtime sudden death. So, meaning 2 points in succession had to be scored.
What year was this?
1959. Yep. And if only 1 point had been scored at the end of that sudden death overtime, then whoever scored the 1 point won. And Brewer was on the line for two shots, who I fouled him. And the first shot went up and in. I says, well, time to leave. And the second one fell off. And a kid named Jimmy Kenny rebounded, got the ball to me. And I come down, and I didn't know the rules, so I was going to dribble out the time and go into another overtime. And my coach screamed at me to put the ball up. So I took one dribble and took a shot, which would have been a three-point shot. Ball went down. We beat Brewer 63-62. Wow. To advance to the finals against Bangor Saturday night, and then they beat us in the finals.
Bob McAllister. Hey, it's great to see you again, Bob.
Same
Thanks
here,
for
Rich.
Stopping by.
You're welcome.
Congratulations again on that induction into
Thank
the Hall
you very
of Fame.
Much. It was a pleasure.
Bob McAllister here on Downtown. We'll take a break. It's 3:34. You're listening to The Pulse, WZON.